Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 5, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We're talking hoop coming up at 6:20. It'll be time for a rim session right now. Here's the TD Tuesday Gold with Wolchuk and Chiafalo.
All right, let's party. Some of the best touchdown calls from college and the National Football League. We like to party every Tuesday because it's time for TD Tuesday.
Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak, boom shakalak, TD Tuesday shakalak.
When we start in Atlanta, where the Falcons are missing the playoffs, but not before Penix planted his flag in London.
So here's Penix now, 2-by-2 look again, Robinson in the backfield.
He cannot hold the ball.
Carolina brings four, Michael gonna zip it again, this time London. He held on, and that's an Atlanta touchdown. Whoa, what a play. What a play.
Falcons radio with the call, Drake London, 10 grabs, 187 yards, two touchdowns, good for a double motorboat Sunday.
Absolutely. Let's go to Arizona. Kyler Murray, the pride of Allen, Texas, finding his future star-studded wide receiver who had a pretty good rookie year. Maybe a little disappointing. Pretty good. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Shotgun snap. Murray to throw a fade. Right side in the end zone. On the money to Marvin Harrison Jr. Touchdown. What a throw by Murray. That's his fourth touchdown pass, tying a career high.
You can see that coming a mile away.
Where's our guy Wolfley been all year long?
Wolfley.
Finally, we got an appearance.
Finally got him going back, yeah.
Sounds like he just got his voice back.
Yeah, get that man some tea.
I saw the rookie numbers for Marvin Harrison Jr. compared to his dad. He had one less catch, but he had like 50 more yards and the same amount of touchdowns. Like the rookie season numbers for Marvin Harrison Jr. are almost identical to that of his father.
Wow.
Pretty funny. Pretty awesome. Marvin Harrison Jr., we'll see how it goes. All right, we take things to the AFC North.
I saw a separate follow-up, the Drake London-Michael Penix connection in three games, 350 yards. Things trending up for Atlanta. Probably took them a little bit too long to make that decision.
Yeah. That could be quite the duo, though, moving forward. Yes, definitely took too long to make that decision. But let's get a little Saturday football in here. We head to Baltimore, where Zappy Hour gets underway. It is the 40th quarterback starting since 1999 for the Browns, and it started just how you would imagine it would.
Bailey Zappi the shotgun. Blitz pressure coming up the middle. Zappi throws, intercepted. Nate Wiggins has it on the sideline. In for the touchdown. The rookie with his first pick six of his NFL career.
He was one Zappi start away from his first touchdown of his career.
It's another good reason that secondary's performing better. Nate Wiggins, he has stepped it up here in the second half of the season. He's doing really, really well.
Slightly built dude that can really play.
We can run.
Ravens radio with the call.
Yep. All right, let's go to the Carolina Panthers. Panthers Radio Network. And this came down to the wire as it was a walk-off TD for former Eagle.
Young is under center. Here's the snap. Sanders up the middle, charging through the end zone. Touchdown, Carolina. The Panthers walk it off to end the season.
The excitement on the field is awesome.
Jake DeLome with some
awesome excitement. Walk off touchdown, man. That'll get you going. And against your division rival, keeping them out of the playoffs. Not that that game necessarily mattered because of the Buccaneers getting the victory, but still good stuff there. The Panthers ending the season on a high note. Now we go to some college TDs here, and these are huge this time of year when it comes to the college TDs. We got the Golden Domers punt return, touchdown, bye-bye Bulldogs.
Daniel Whelan out of UC Davis in his second year takes the snap, sends it up the elevator shaft, and it is going to sail to the far side of the field where it's picked up by the Bears. A little trickery here, 25-30. A lot of blocking at the 40 to the 50, and nobody's going to get him into the end zone with an escort from Jack Sanborn. Is a touchdown, touchdown Blackwell, touchdown Bears.
Irish Radio with the call. You have to imagine. That's the first time in play-by-play history that elevator shaft has ever made it into a call.
Is that like Irish Radio or Bears
Radio? That was
Radio.
Chicago Bears. That was the Bears.
Bears Radio?
That was the Bears.
Oh, my apologies.
We will get to the Irish touchdown. That also was a kick return. We will get to that. Jaden Harrison.
Is that an analogy like it's a frozen rope just on a line? I'm throwing this ball through an elevator shaft.
It got straight up.
So
high,
through a moon
straight
ball.
Down.
The hang time was impressive. Because
this was the crazy fake that they did where DJ Moore, pretending like he was going to catch
it. Wow, dude, I miss ID'd
the TD. And then he had Josh Blackwell on the other side, ended up taking it 94 yards.
That was pretty dang awesome.
It was a pretty cool play.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Me either. All right, let's get to one of our favorites on TD Tuesday. It's the Bengals Radio Network. It's our guy Dave Lapham. Joe Burrow making history going to Ja'Marr Chase.
Burrow looking to pass again. He fires. Boom. A strike. Caught. Boom. Ja'Marr Chase with a touchdown.
Yeah.
The Bengals score on their opening drive, and Ja'Marr Chase has just made franchise history. It's his 17th touchdown catch of the year, tying Carl Pickens' single-season franchise mark.
And Carl Pickens, that guy could do it, man.
Big Carl Pickens.
Big Carl Pickens.
Tennessee.
I wasn't familiar with his game.
What's he done?
I guess he scored some touchdowns.
17
in his time.
Of them, huh?
He's a TD man. Mm-hmm. Speaking of TD men, how about our guy, Freako Dowdle?
Snap to Lance, inside handoff. Dowdle pushing, touchdown! Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Freako Dowdle, a rushing touchdown.
Thank you, Brad. We appreciate that. From that to another running back. Actually, a running back taken in the first round, 12th overall, Jahmyr Gibbs, carrying the Lions to the number one overall seed.
Offset eye behind Goff, who's up under center. Deep back Gibbs. They give it to Jahmyr. Big hole. There he goes down the 20-yard line. Angle is 15. Gone, baby. 5. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. 25 yards.
There's two booths who have had probably the most fun this year. It's Washington's Detroit. Those guys are loving life.
Yeah.
They really are.
Minnesota's had some fun this year.
Minnesota has.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys do have a good time. But, I mean, for the Lions right now, Dan Miller, and we got to chat with him in the pregame show. He's fired up. He's poking his chest out about his Lions, and he's got good reason for it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely
does, yeah.
They're fantastic. Jahmyr Gibbs getting it done in a huge, huge way. And did we get the news today that it looks like David Montgomery's going to be healthy for the postseason?
They're going to get Monty back. They get the two-headed monster again.
That's good stuff. All right, we head to Houston where they will have a Saturday wild card playoff game, but not before
death in Texas.
Not before Damian Pierce scampers 90 plus yards to pay dirt.
Ball just outside the 7-yard line for the Houston Texans, up 7-0, second quarter. Davis feeds Pierce through a hole, 15, 20. He's gone. 40. 50, the 40 of Tennessee, the 30. Will he be caught? The 10, 5, rock and roll, Damian Pierce, coast to coast.
Coast to coast, rock and roll.
Texans Radio with the call. That's a Music City miracle, if you ask me. Damian Pierce, I didn't have on the bingo card.
Like in witness protection.
Yeah, first of all, where has he been all season? And the idea that he's got the wheels to go 90 plus is pretty surprising. But hey, when you're playing the Titans, anything's possible.
Anything's possible. All right, let's go to Indy. Joe Flacco throwing a TD to Alec Pierce.
Second down and one for the Colts. Flacco goes out of the pistol formation. Moves Michael Pittman Jr. in motion. Back in the throw as Flacco has time. Sends a rainbow down the right sideline. Underneath it is Alec Pierce. He's got a touchdown. 40 yards. Deep bomb to Alec Pierce, the Midwestern missile.
The Midwestern Missile.
That's a heck of a nickname.
It's a badass nickname. And speaking of Michael Pittman Jr., dude played the whole year with a fractured back.
I saw that.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that is pretty dang
impressive. That's unreal.
Should we award him Tough Guy of the Year? I mean, certainly a favorite.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing with a fractured back.
How about Joe Flacco, though? 39 years old, still having the riz to garner up some TDs this time of year.
Man, he's a TD god.
Very, very impressive. All right, now we get to the college TDs. It's Notre Dame. It's Jaden Harrison. It's 98 yards. Basically a walk-off. This put him to bed.
Kick to start the half. Jaden Harrison might get a chance here. Going to bring it out from his own 2-yard line. Cuts it inside, takes it out to the far side, across the numbers, along the far sideline. Jaden Harrison hits the Jets across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. It's a touchdown.
Yes.
Kickoff return from Jaden Harrison. He waited all season long, and golden is thy fame. What a return to start the second half.
Man,
I'll tell you what, dude. Shout out to Irish Radio with the call.
Sure, it's not Bears Radio.
This one was the Irish.
They got so excited. Sometimes you mistake a TD for another one. You hate when that happens. You feel disrespectful, but you try to just move on seamlessly.
Oh, do you?
And you hope that your teammates don't call you out for it.
I was just curious.
No, you did a great job. You did fine there.
I'm keeping score over here with the TDs. So okay, I just want to make sure.
Two quick.
I thought I didn't want to mark one down wrong.
Two quick nuggets. Verlander no longer a Houston Astro. Okay, Justin Verlander's going to San Francisco. He's signing with the Giants. You don't have to worry about him.
The G-Man season.
No more. And I guess Adam Schefter is saying the Cowboys have denied permission to the Bears. So, no, you can't interview our guy.
Maybe what? Do the Cowboys actually want to keep Mike McCarthy then? Maybe. Isn't that what that means?
All right.
You connecting dots?
If you're denying permission.
Yeah, that means run me my check right now then, bro.
We're going to have a new deal.
Access denied.
All right, Jason Whitlock, get out of here. All right, you're not part of this. Let's go to the Jets Radio Network. Aaron Rodgers making history. TD history, that is.
Shotgun for Rodgers. Breece Hall in motion. He's back to throw. Steps up in the pocket. Sidearms one over the middle. Caught. Touchdown. Tyler Conklin. And that is career touchdown pass number 500 for Aaron Rodgers. Tyler Conklin the recipient. And the Jets are a point after away from taking the lead.
Question is, will he get to 501? Who the heck is going to want Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I don't think so. I agree with Lucius. I don't think he's going to want to go out this way. But who wants him? It's a great question.
I mean, finishing at 500, that's a nice number on the old resume there.
It is. Did we really have some guy last week say the TD Tuesday intro sucked?
Somebody did. Somebody did say. Somebody said that the TD Tuesday intro needed to be touched up a little bit.
I mean,
if you're Rodgers,
hard to trust that opinion.
Are the Giants for sure going to draft a quarterback now that they're picking third? You know,
I like that idea. I think they still will.
Yeah, it's certainly on the table for them. I don't know. You never really know when you have Brick Johnson going through Madden to make the decisions.
Supposedly,
for an organization.
Brick's not making the decisions. Woody said Brick is not making the call.
You know who is making the call? Maybe the best wide receiver in football history. He's a Buckeye. He's Jeremiah Smith, and he finds himself once again in the end zone.
Snap to Will Howard. Fakes the handoff. Sets up behind the 50 to pass. Guns Edwin deep down the middle of the field. Jeremiah Smith got it at the 4 and into the end zone. Jeremiah Smith on a 43-yard touchdown pass from Will Howard the second time today. Those two have hooked up for a score. And what do you know? It's 23-0 Ohio State leading Oregon.
What do you know, huh? 23-0.
Hey, you mentioned it earlier, Walchuk. That's going to be worth the price of admission there. That matchup between Barron and Jeremiah Smith, the Longhorn corner versus the wide receiver that people are saying would be the number one overall pick in this year's draft, but he's a true damn freshman. Unbelievable, dude. Yeah. I cannot wait for that.
Hey, John A., you want to go ahead and be a top 15 pick? Shut that dude down. You shut that beast down. All right, let's go to the Patriots. Now, this is going to be the CBS call. We actually played this for Best of the Weekend yesterday, but it's so good. Let's hit it twice. What a TD this was.
And for Patriots fans, hopefully he's just like Josh Allen looking for his 115th consecutive start.
Milton again, Booty wide open.
That's crazy.
It's a 48-yard strike.
booty wide open is crazy. That is crazy.
It has to be intentional, right?
It's got to be. Crazy. It's got to be.
Is that booty or bootay?
It's bootay.
Yeah, because bootay, yeah, it's French, right? I always thought it was bootay.
So okay. Either one of them would have worked there.
Bootay wide open. Hey, we're mixing a little booty in on our TD Tuesday. Huh?
Booty or bootay?
Which would you prefer?
The hard-hitting questions.
You get bootay in New Orleans.
Need some of that bootay tonight.
Bootay.
All right, let's head to Seattle, where Geno Smith, unbelievable. His OC's getting fired, but not before Noah Fant gets to the end zone.
Smith from the shotgun takes the snap. Blitz is coming. Throw to the middle. Ball is caught, upended. Fant, is he into the end zone? He is. Touchdown, Seahawks. Fant lying flat on his back, hangs on to the football, helped up by his teammates. He said, "What happened?" They said, "You scored from 16 out," and the Seahawks go back on top, 30-25.
Amazing. Seahawks radio there. All right, let's go to Tampa Bay where they're firing cannons. My guy Jalen McMillan was just an absolute stud the second half of the season. He's trying to carry that into the postseason. And Baker Mayfield, well, he's fighting for TDs every week, baby.
Shot empty backfield look for Baker Mayfield now. Three receivers to his right. Good snap, belt high. Looking upfield, looking, flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver, open, caught, touchdown Tampa Bay! Touchdown Tampa Bay! Jalen McMillan, fifth game in a row. He's come up with a touchdown. Fire the cannons!
Gene Deckeroff says, he's like,
he's hoping to, fire!
Hey, we got time to run it back.
Yes, please. It's a TD you need to see again.
Shot empty backfield look for Baker Mayfield now. Three receivers to his right. Good snap, belt high. Looking upfield, looking, flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver. Open, caught, touchdown Tampa Bay. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Jalen McMillan, fifth game in a row. He's come up with a touchdown. Fire the cannons.
That's good.
Oh, Deckeroff, we love you. And that's going to be a heck of a battle. Sunday night football, yes. Baker squaring off versus Jaden Daniels, two of the better offenses in the sport, lighting up the scoreboard, TDs all over the place. That's the projection. All right, let's get to AT&T Stadium. We close it down. The must-lose game of the season for the Cowboys. Thank you, Marcus Mariota.
Mariota in the gun. Eckler to his left. Three wide receivers to the right. Here's the snap. He's looking left, one-on-one, throws over.
Oh, Terry McLaurin! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! They've done it again!
Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I do! Terry McLaurin, Marcus Mariota, perfect ball game, Washington!
Oh, Commanders radio with the call. Those guys, man. Play of the year for the Cowboys right there. Yeah, that was big time.
It was, right?
That was big time. I don't want to be disrespectful, but that was important.
Thought it was going to be tough finding a player now. Could you imagine three more spots back? Thank you, boys. A TD Tuesday is in the books. And resetting the news from 10 minutes ago, the Cowboys have denied permission to the Bears to interview their head coach, Mike McCarthy. That is the report from Adam Schefter. So a couple of different ways to react to that. Number one, are the Cowboys making the right decision? I would think so. I think it's likely they would not find a better head coach than Mike McCarthy. But, you know, beyond that, do you think they have decided for sure, Brian? Is this?
I don't know. I've reached out to several different people to try and confirm Schefter's report. So hopefully we'll get something back here before we get off the air. But, yeah, we'll see if in fact this is the opening that Don Yee and Jerry Jones need to get this deal done.
Maybe they've met. I mean, we got no confirmation that they had met last night, but maybe they have, and you know they know that we're in the right parameters. We're going to work our way towards a deal, or maybe the Cowboys are trying their last ditch to leverage Mike McCarthy into taking less here over the next week. I would not be that worried if I'm Mike McCarthy that I have to wait until the 14th to start negotiating. If a team really wants me out there, I'm sure they would, you know, not have a problem waiting seven more days. But yeah, I do believe that is the Cowboys tipping their hand. They do not want to let Mike McCarthy go. And we'd love to know how you feel about that on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. But we're coming back to talk basketball with you, Chief. What do we got?
We got love and basketball plus some big man beef next.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market.
or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Join the nation.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on the Fan Segments, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333, or jump online to frankelfirm.com. 405 says, I'm so exhausted with people saying the Cowboys can't do better. Are we sure about that? This whole organization is stuck in reverse. I mean, I'm sure you could do better if the Cowboys were willing to, you know, do a real search, and if they truly believe that if they find the right head coach, he could have the special sauce for unlocking things for the Cowboys, then they could do better. I just would not bet on them to do better. I mean, other than Bill Parcells, which was very short-lived, since Jimmy Johnson, Mike McCarthy's the best thing you got.
Yeah, and
it's
why,
not close.
And why did Bill work out? Well, for a period there, you know, Bill isn't going to deal with the crap that goes on. And then even he wasn't able to say, I don't want Terrell Owens. And Jerry said, F you, you're going to take him, right? And so that ultimately ended that relationship. But it's very difficult. Like Ben Johnson, that'd be awesome. And maybe he ends up being a terrible head coach, right?
Sure, yeah.
But that's a dude who wants to build his own program. He wants clearly to align with a GM himself and have say and final authority. You don't have that as the head coach of the Cowboys. All the quotes that Jane had yesterday, like, I'd like Mike to come back and let Mike do it his way. What do you think that means? That means all the decisions are not left up to Mike McCarthy.
And a brilliant leader, a great coach with skins on the wall, with options. While he might be attracted by the Cowboys' opportunity, he is going to be driven by the personal success and power and ability to prove himself on the biggest stage. And that is something that, you know, this organization won't give head coaches. So you kind of have to win in spite of the challenges. And I think for a lot of great leaders, it's a non-starter to sort of enter, you know, this kind of a situation. So, you know, that one's tough. I'm split with the reaction, because I wish this Cowboys team did have a front office with more respect for the head coach position and, you know, went on an exhaustive search for the guy with the best skills to get the job done. But I don't believe they're going to do that. So I'll take Mike McCarthy, a guy who I think is going to give you a lot of the other good stuff that, you know, is required of being a head coach. I think he's got like 85% of what you'd be looking for. And, you know, I think with the Cowboys, with Mike McCarthy, with Dak Prescott, they should have quite a bit of stability. And if they dominate two things, a couple of drafts in a row and then budget free agency, they could put themselves back in the conversation for having the number one seed. And then you hope you don't come up against a team in the playoffs that runs the Shanahan offense. Got you 2 years in a row with the Niners and then got you with the Packers. It was, you know, I don't want to make excuses for them, but their road to the Super Bowl was as difficult as it could have possibly been if you looked at the draw the last 3 years.
Oh, last year it was not. Last year the draw was perfect for them. They had two home playoff games that were undefeated at home. And then they just dropped the bet against Green Bay.
That's a style makes fights type of matchup. And Green Bay was playing much better than a wild card team by the time you got to them.
They got hot, but I mean, the Cowboys were 12-5 and also had been playing well. They
couldn't stop the run. Aaron Jones was ready to rock.
Yeah, they weren't good enough. They weren't coached well enough. They didn't play well enough on the field. Like, the draw was there. You had two playoff games where you got to play the boogeyman, which was the Niners. Or the Green Bay Packers weren't your boogeyman last year, limping in as a 7 seed.
Nearly beat the Niners.
They nearly did, sure.
Yeah.
But no, to say that their draw wasn't good last year.
Oh, dude, they had no way.
That's a lame-ass excuse.
There's no way they were going to stop a Shanahan offense with Aaron Jones running the way he was.
Well, then they had no business being in the playoffs.
And that was no fault of Mike McCarthy's.
That wasn't a fault of Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the team.
No.
Okay.
No, that's the defensive side.
Well, he's the
Dan
head
Quinn
coach
got
the
embarrassed
team.
That
well, they
day.
They sucked offensively too.
I mean, they did nothing. The first half, Dak throwing a pick six. He's throwing another interception. They did nothing to move the football at all.
It was a well-rounded loss.
I mean,
and you
the
could
whole
have sustained that if you didn't have the misfortune of drawing a Shanahan offense with an incredible running back that crushed Dan Quinn all 3 years he was there.
We were all pumped going into that game.
Sure,
this
we were.
This is perfect.
And
you
we
got
were
the
mistaken.
Seven seed
we were sadly mistaken. You guys should have scouted the opposition better for
us. You were also picking the Cowboys to win that day and thought that this draw was perfect, just like we were. So hindsight is 20. 2020, I think it's a weak-ass excuse. Well, and we need to keep holding them accountable.
I realized the faults of my ways after that game, Wolchuk. I said, man, I didn't have enough respect for Green Bay. He was an absolute nightmare for the Cowboys that day. Man. You run that thing back 10 times, there's no way they beat him.
They declined the Bears. They did.
They did? You they can did. Confirm that?
I can confirm that.
All right, we're confirmed. Confirmation is king. I'll tell you, we cannot have that same play call, that same play caller, that same playbook. That has to change. If McCarthy's going to be back here, hopefully it's under the idea that we're going to have a new forward-thinking, cutting-edge offensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy, go be the CEO. Go figure out how to manage the game, which is not something you've been able to do throughout your 30 years in the sport. Go figure out how to do that. Stay out of the quarterback room. Stay out of that. We don't need to. We'll see you on Sunday, okay?
Stay out of the draft room, too, dude.
Well, yeah, sure. That part as well. But in particular, this offense cannot be the same copy and paste McCarthy play call, Brian Schottenheimer, Amish 1990s football. We cannot be doing that.
Yeah, and we have to hope that over the last 30 hours that was Jerry Jones's, you know, ask in their meeting that, hey, I want to bring you back, but can we have a different set of eyes on this offense similar to what you had when you took the job and Kellen Moore was the OC? That's what we can hope for, you know, moving forward. But now I think this is confirmed, or maybe not confirmed, but over 90% probability Mike McCarthy's back, right? That's the way you guys are looking at it?
I'm with you. I mean, it'd be a terrible look if you're not bringing him back and now you're just blocking him from an interview with the Bears just to say, you know what? We're going to go a different direction.
Let all the jobs dry up and then hire Kellen Moore, the guy that he couldn't wait to get out of town, and that would be insult to injury.
That would be unnecessary meanness on Jerry's part, and I do believe that he wants to negotiate and get involved and roll up his sleeves and battle, you know, for what he possibly can, but I don't think he would disrespect somebody that savagely.
I wonder if Mike, though, in fact, if it turns into where it's not something that's suitable to him, that he just says, no, I'm not going to do that, and I'm just going to walk away from
it. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then your Kellen Moore conversations and stuff come right in. And this could be like, yeah, we're going to deny him the opportunity, and then we're going to negotiate. And if it doesn't work out, then we tried. He's the one that didn't want to come here or didn't want to stay. Then you put it on, you really kind of blame it on Mike that way. And then they go get Kellen Moore or somebody else that they can work with. That's why is it mean? But they're going to negotiate, I believe. But is Mike going to get out of this what he wants? That's going to be the bigger question here. You know.
Yeah, I don't know if he would accept the role as head coach if he's not going to be the play caller, or if he doesn't have a hand in who's going to be that guy and it's something he's comfortable with. Yeah. But for me, I mean, the bare minimum for bringing back Mike McCarthy would be under the idea that, hey, Mike, you're the head coach, but we're going to identify a super beast offensive coordinator here, and it's not going to be your Denny's menu anymore.
I mean, he wants to be the coach here. That's clear. And and 5 years ago, he was willing to accept a different OC than the one he had anything to do with picking in order to have this job.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
So now he wants this job again. You're right back in the same situation you were four and a half years ago when you were trying to get this job. So now he's back in this spot. I think we would have heard the Cowboys grant permission to the Bears to interview Mike McCarthy if Mike wasn't okay with whatever terms Jerry established in this meeting.
Sure. Oh, okay. So you have this being McCarthy being like, yeah, I'd rather the Cowboys job than the Bears. So you can just go ahead and deny this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're going to negotiate a contract here for the rest of this week, and there's no need for me to go chat with the Bears. And, you know, we'll get everything hammered out here before too long.
Yeah, I guess that could be the case. Or it could be the Joneses just, you know, Jerry saying deny. And he doesn't know that McCarthy, you know, maybe McCarthy does still want that, want to go to the Bears or something like that. Like, I don't know that this Jerry blocking him from the Bears means McCarthy signed off on that.
That's my interpretation of it. You know, there's no absolute proof of it, but as I'm playing it out between the two sides and what they would both want, I think that's the most logical explanation for the news breaking this hour that it's been denied.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bummer, dude. Isn't it a bummer?
Yeah, because if you let him go, there's a chance that you get somebody that can, you know, do more than what you've done. But at the same time, I think there is an upside to it. You know, the fact that you're not going to bring in a head coach that could totally screw this up and set you back years. You know, you at least know your floor is going to be pretty dang high with Mike McCarthy. And I know he doesn't do the Shanahan or McDaniel stuff or the Ben Johnson stuff, but, you know, those offensive approaches aren't Teflon either. Both of those teams, the Niners and Dolphins, had really bad years, you know? So I think, you know, even if you would get the better scheme, there's things that Mike McCarthy does really, really well that you might be missing before too long. So, I mean, there's a lot more volatility if you move on from Mike McCarthy, but there's a lot more stability with him, and I'll take that in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what they did with the quarterback position as well. You know, it's like, do we want to risk going out there and taking a couple of steps backward, moving on from Dak initially? But to me, it's like, you know that at this point, with what we understand about this quarterback and this head coach, there is a limit on how far you can go. So if Super Bowl is what you want, I think you have a pretty good idea, a decade of Dak and a half decade of McCarthy, you're not getting that. So for me, it's worth the risk at quarterback and at head coach to go see what else is out there. And you never know what's going to work out. I mean, with all these coaches, you never have a clue. You never knew that Doug Peterson was going to do something with the Eagles that Andy Reid could have never done.
Yeah.
You never knew that.
Yeah.
We didn't know Kevin O'Connell was going to be as awesome as he is, but that's what happens. And if the quarterback that you get to replace your starter ends up sucking, okay, fine. Then you turn and burn. You're the Joneses. You're not getting fired.
Yeah.
What does it matter to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is they just don't go about that way with these hirings.
No, they don't.
It's all about who do they know, who are they comfortable with, who's not going to challenge them, how can we still kind of have a hand and a say in everything, and that's the problem. Now, as a fan base, we got to talk ourselves into it's better that Mike McCarthy comes back, because realistically, we know in our heart of hearts, because of the way this thing's run from the top down, you're not going to do any better, because they don't want to do any better.
No, they don't, and I think the one thing we learned with both the Dak and the Mike situations is if status quo is making the playoffs, they're going to be good with that. Status quo is just no longer good enough if you are really, really bad and nobody's playing hard for you, as was the case, you know, with Wade Phillips, I guess. But, you know, Jason Garrett was allowed to be very average for 9 years as long as you made the playoffs every other year. And so Mike McCarthy is overachieved on that standard. And, you know, there's no reason to believe that Jerry Jones would have effectively shifted from that approach, that mindset. Okay, let's step aside here. We did have that breaking news. Maybe we can talk some basketball. Mavs hosting the Lakers tonight. We'll chat with Fret and Blake and see what they have cooking for you here tonight at the Fan After Dark. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Stars and Rangers, exciting game in New York so far. Coming towards the end of the first period, the Rangers skated out to a 2-0 lead. Since then, we've had three more goals. The Rangers lead 3-2 against the visiting Stars late first period out there in New York. So that's got to be a fun game to be at. Can't wait to get home and watch the rest of that. You also have the Lakers in town to take on the Mavericks over there at the AAC coming up in about 45 minutes.
You ever done the Madison Square Garden game?
What? It's on now, right?
Stars it's on game? Right now. The Mavs are on right now.
Oh, the Mavs are on early.
Yeah.
Okay. The Stars right are on now as well.
Oh, it's a TNT game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
tipped off.
Or HBO Go game for me.
There you go. Yeah,
there you go.
Okay.
You ever do the Madison Square Garden?
No, I walked by it and I was like, wow, that's like different than I imagined.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of cool.
But no, I was in New York City for just 1 week. That's my entire New York City experience. Mm-hmm. CA and I had gone to the Nike House of Hoops, where we ran into Spike Lee.
Oh, wow.
Which was cool.
Dude, that's awesome. Cool. That's
he was
cool.
Shopping for sneakers on his way to a Knicks game, and then we walked past it on our way back to the hotel or whatever we had going on that night. Hmm. But no, you ever been to a game at MSG?
No, and I actually went to the train station that's underneath it. Then you come up the escalator, and then, like you say, you see it. But
yeah,
I've always wanted to go to a game there.
Yeah, from the curb, it sat really low because much of it is happening underground.
Underground, right. Okay. There's a train station underneath it.
Gotcha.
Like you literally pull in and then you take the escalator up and you're
that's
wait
the way to go to a game right there.
Yeah.
Getting on the New York subway is a lifetime experience too, because you can just feel and see the history. They haven't, at least in 2012 or whenever I was there, 2014, they hadn't upgraded it to be like a modern tram system. It really felt like you were hanging out on a
New
York subway in the 70s.
They're having a lot of problems with it.
Okay. Here comes the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. Gentlemen, a good evening to you. How the heck are you?
Feeling great. Feeling blessed. We're here, ready to 4 hours. No more 3 hour shows for the most part. A lot of 4 hour shows ahead. So we got a boatload of content. We've had a lot of fun with our fatties and hanging out with them. So
that's their names now?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The fatties, all right.
Came strong.
They came strong. It was over, I think, one person sent it over 300 times, over like 1,100 votes.
Voted 324 times in one segment.
Yep. It was
that's
a lot.
That's the name of the community?
Mm-hmm. The fatties?
The fatties?
Absolutely.
I voted for Vampires.
F-A-D-D-I-E-S.
Vampires did not win, though.
So no, it didn't.
They came in second place.
The fatties.
Fatties.
Well, 90s throwback right there.
You know what time it is.
You know what I'm saying? Just be toxic with the name of your squad.
I voted for Farkers.
Yeah.
You did.
We got another vote. Came two in votes second. For Farkers.
You and one other person. Wow. That was it. So we did kind of a two-prong attack. We started doing it, the voting started at 9:20 on Friday. We opened it up. It was nip-tuck. And then...
That was a decent show back
then.
Yeah,
it really was.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right? I've never seen it, but I've heard good things.
They pushed the envelope
I've
on
heard
that
good
thing.
Things. Well, did. We pushed the envelope. Yeah. So 9:40, we're down to... We kicked Farkers to the curb, and so it was Fatties and Vampires. And Blake, and, you know, I didn't say anything after he said this because I was like, you know, you throw it out there the Tolos. He said, if y'all want to vote more than once during this segment, be my guest.
I did say that.
And
that ran up the numbers.
Say less, as the kids say. Next thing you know, Fatties for 15 minutes straight.
Right on.
We had well over 1,000 texts in that segment.
Well, it is a movement for the evening show. Congrats for everything that you guys have built in a very short period of time. Not surprised to see that kind of a passion.
Let's go Fatties.
On the fan
That's
text.
It. That's it.
So we're reacting to the Mike McCarthy news. Do you guys interpret it the same as we do, as the Cowboys have denied the Bears permission to chat with Mike McCarthy? How strongly of an indication is that Mike's back? Mike's back to you?
Mike's back. I don't know why it took a day or so for them to figure out that they were going to deny this. I assume, like Jerry said, the hay is in the barn. His assumption on what he thought of Mike McCarthy, I thought, was already made up. Maybe he's wanting a little bit of drama. We know that the Cowboys are good with that, and it did create a little bit of drama within the days waiting for. So, but it looks like the Bears will continue their coaching search, and the Cowboys seems like they're going to be keeping Mike McCarthy. My question that I'm going to be asking throughout the show, does that mean the rest of the staff is staying, though?
Well, see, that's what I think. I'm wondering if the conversation had less to do with, okay, you're coming back, then it's kind of let's work on the peripheral of, all right, who's going to be your DC? Ain't no way you're bringing Schottenheimer back. We're going to have to mix some things up. I mean, you saw what Cincinnati did. I mean, hell, they got rid of half their guys. You know, I mean, what Lou?
Anarumo.
That guy. So you just kind of get the, see, that's what I'm
the
going
patty
right
stopper.
There. So you just kind of wonder, all right, what's going to be the next step as far as what the staff's going to look like? Would Lou be a guy that could be in play for the Cowboys if Zimmer doesn't come back next year?
Me personally, Bob Saleh is my guy.
Okay.
I would, if Mike Zimmer decides to leave, I need to make a call there and see if I can get that one.
My question to you, Brian, who do you think would be the head of heading that charge of who's picking the DC? Is that a Mike McCarthy thing or a Jerry thing or
a
Steven?
I think they all kind of came to the realization Dan Quinn fell in their lap, and then, you know, they got some help with, even though Mike had worked against Mike Zimmer, I think probably got some help there. So I think they would probably all come together. Maybe Mike McCarthy needs to make that call if in fact Zimmer's not going to be here anymore.
Probably end up being Eberflus. They know him.
Could very well
been
be him,
before.
Too.
Yeah. He's not a bad DC.
No, he's not.
I mean,
no.
Did a great job with the Colts.
Not a great head coach, but not a bad DC when it's all said.
If you want to, if you want to do with Saleh, you're probably thinking about, okay, he's just going to be here for a year. You're going to lose him. So maybe they decide we don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. We keep losing our defensive coordinators here.
Is the Kellen Moore stuff just smoke, or is there any validity to that?
What, him being a coach?
Just anything interpreted with the Cowboys. Absolutely.
If Mike McCarthy decides that Jerry and them lowball him and he doesn't want to coach here anymore, then I think Kellen Moore is clearly in play.
Okay. How much trouble are the Mavs in here? They have 18 points, 2.5 to play first quarter. The offense has been stuck in first or second gear since about 5 minutes to go last night.
Yep.
You know, we were talking with Tim Cato earlier. He actually calmed my nerves a little bit.
That's why he didn't text me back. He was on with y'all?
Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense.
but, I mean, the fact that the 10th team is trending to about 40 or 41 wins, if you can just pick up a random win here or there, get healthy coming out of the All-Star break, they should be able to close and make the playoffs. But this is highly concerning, and now Daniel Gafford out at least a week or so with a sprained ankle.
I'm definitely concerned a little bit because we had the discussion that without Luka, and having Kyrie here, you're going to go hopefully 500, maybe a game under, a game over, but around 500. And now that Kyrie has only played one game in the last week or week and a half, they haven't won a single game without Luka or Kyrie. And it's just kind of scary just because we've made a lot of talk about this team is good enough to win without Luka, without Kyrie. We never really went through the realization, can this team win without the two best players? Nobody really can in the NBA. So I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack, but it is scary just to see that they have been getting blown out in these games, even to the shorthanded Grizzlies, who were out numerous stars as well.
All right, here they come, the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake and all the fatties. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control. Thanks to Woolchuck and Shia Follow Reunited. And of course, Brian brought us. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation, Addies.